You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. The number one shoe machine on the market. We own three of them, and I can tell you personally, even before they became sponsors, their customer service is second to none. Every time I've had any issues with any of my machines, going back to the way old ones, they've always taken really good care of me. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com. Oh, and mention us, and they'll give you $450 off. Mention Coach Collins or Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We always tell our players that they should be working on their craft. I challenge you to work on your craft. Come over, join a community of like-minded coaches who want to make this game better. It's the reason I started Teach Hoops, is to help pay the bills for all these podcasts, but even more importantly, to give back to this great game that has given me so much, and to set up a roadmap for you to be successful, not only on the court, but off the court. And we offer a 14-day free trial. So come over and kick the tires around, see if you like it. And let's head off to the podcast.
And the biggest thing I'll tell you is this, and I've worked with a million coaches in the run and jump. Patience by the coach. In other words, as coaches, we want instant results. We want instant gratification. We want instant success. And in the run and jump, you've kind of put yourself in a position where you're kind of stretched out a little bit. And the biggest thing I'll tell coaches is, even if you have to soften the press up, do not give up layups, do not foul, and do not give up offensive rebounds, because as soon as you start doing that and the kids lose confidence in it, you'll lose confidence in it, then you have to scrap it. You can't use it. So patience is a big thing. Patience. And I've had a lot of coaches, even in my own coaching, in teaching things like the run and jump, you have to have patience with your team, and you have to make sure that you're step one, step two, step three, step four. A lot of times as coaches, we want to get to step 10 right off the bat.
Right. I think I'm going to say that again, because I think that was a golden nugget for people listening. And this is, you exactly hit what I've done. You can't foul. There's nothing I have no hair, because you cannot give up a layup. When you're I cannot give you an easy basket. If you come down and pop a three while you're moving and you're the fourth best shooter, go ahead. Good for you.
Let me tell the viewers about the three ball. You're going to give up as many threes, maybe more, coming out of the press than you would in a half court pack defense.
Mm-hmm.
You give up more wide open threes. But let me give you just a quick story. We have a team in our league. We had a team in our league that shot 49% from the three-point line. Is that pretty good? 49% as a team. 49%, right?
That's very good.
Against us, 22%. And I tell people all the time, I said, now why do you think, do you think we contested every three? Do you think that we all of a sudden Didn't get as good looks at three. I said they probably got better looks. They were fatigued. They were a little bit hurried. A different guy was shooting when he wasn't quite ready. The shot clock in our situation, obviously the shot clock had run down. They couldn't break you down. They weren't settled. So a 49% three-point shooting team on average against us shot 22 to 25% from the three. And that is because of the press, not because I'm a magical genius. It's because of the press. They got wide open threes just like they normally would. They got some nice kickouts. They still only made 25% of them.
And the reason is, I'm telling you, too old dog, it's because they're moving and they're not in their comfort zone. They're taking shots that they have not taken for the last month in practice or in games. That's why they're missing it. That's my opinion. My stats teacher.
Exactly why.
How long? Let's go down a scenario. I'm a new high school coach, and I want to put this in. How long will it take me to do that?
Here's what I want you to understand, and this is going to blow your mind a little bit. So I've been running basketball camps for the last 2 years, about 120 of them in 2 years. Obviously, they all got shut down this summer because of COVID. So most of my camps will run 4 to 5 hours. It sounds like a long time. You have no idea how much they fly. They just go bang, 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 and we're done. This is what I tell the coaches, and this is what I absolutely know and believe. When I'm done in 5 hours, 4 hours, you have a game that night, you can run it. Now, will you be great at it? No. But you can run the run and jump press. Because, again, it's easy. All you're teaching is a few simple concepts of rotation, protection, pressure, trapping, rotation, rebounding. I mean, this is what I tell my teams. This defense is not A to B to C to D. See, when you're A to B, if you run a diamond press, I know you've run that. Run a 2-2-1, I know you've run that. It's a lot of A to B to C to D. In other words, everybody knows exactly where they should be, when they should be, et cetera.
Right. And it's counters.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, in the run and jump, the reason press breakers don't work very well against it because there is no A to B to C to D.
Right.
You don't know when I'm coming. You don't know when I'm trapping because you know why you don't know? Because I don't know.
Right. And here's what I'm going to tell the listeners too. The thing with – this is why it's always intrigued me. And we ran it. We ran it during my heyday, we were running run and jump. Because literally what it was like running read and react or a motion offense. Yeah. Because I basically said, here are the three rules that you have to do. And then I let them go. And then the rotations were and all that stuff was occurring. That's what you kind of see happening.
And you weren't necessarily teaching the rotations. What you were doing is maybe on film, you would say, Billy, probably could have rotated a little bit up a little more, a little bit back sooner. And then Billy looks at it and goes, okay, I gotcha.
Right.
Because they do have to see it on film. They have to see, because when you're running and running and running, but I'll tell you, because it's not A to B to C to D, it frees your kids up. It empties out their mind. It lets them go. So here's what I love about the run and jump is your great athletes can be great athletes. You're not so great athletes, maybe a little more conservative. When they jump, they don't jump quite as far. When they rotate back a little sooner. So the thing is that it allows all levels of talent to be able to do this.
Right. And the thing is that what I think it does too is it gives them some freedom to take angles. Because, again, it's the math teacher in me. But literally, if we're running at you on the – you only have three passes – and I'm doing something on the sideline, which I call I call them the alleys outside the volleyball lines. If we get you in an alley, then you really only have three places, and you're going one direction. You only have three places to pass. At that point, you know, you can go across, you can go to the middle, you can go down the sideline. That's it. Like, I guess you can go back, but that's not really helping you. So I love that because it's teaching. Well, again, we're teaching them to play is one of the big things, I think.
So another thing with the run and jump, coaches say, well, when do you take it off? Depends on my team. If I've got a team that's just learning it, a lot of times when the ball comes over half court, we're out of it. But when I have teams that are really good at it, we may never take it off. We run and jump in the half court. We trap sideline. We jump middle. We may never take it off because I'm teaching kids to be aggressive and to take a few risks. But however, This is what I tell coaches. When I'm 20 feet from the basket, there's a heck of a lot more risk than when I'm 84 feet from the basket. So we've got to be a little bit smarter when we're 20 feet away than when we're 84 feet away. We've got to be a little smarter. But one of the reasons I like the half-court run and jump a little bit, how many times have you watched film and you go, wow, could we have trapped that? Wow, could we have trapped that? Well, you don't always have to trap, but teach your kids how to trap in the half-court. Teach them how to rotate.
And what's the different rules in the half-court?
Well, obviously, we don't want to leave the basket. In other words, we're not jumping away from the hoop. So the bottom line is the simple stuff is when we're pushing the ball to the outside, that's where our jumps come from. We push the ball to the outside, we try to jump from there, and we're trapping the heck out of the corners. You know, one of the best drills, you talked about drills before, one of the best drills that coaches should run all the time, I mean religiously every day in practice, is five around four players in the lane, five around the perimeter, and you can do it just stationary to start. And obviously, what are you teaching? Rotation, 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 because here's what we know. Four players can cover five.
Right.
But you got to train them. Right. And in four players covering five, that's perfect run and jump and half court trap and run. Perfect drill.
Do you ever do that in the full court? You just do it in the half court. Just you don't do five. Court. Huh? Yeah. Do you ever fall back to anything other than man?
We do. And I'll tell you what coaches ask me that all the time. And I say, yeah, I like to fall back in a man because it's easier to get matched up because you're already matched up. But the thing is that because if you play zone, we do fall back in a zone. But think about it. If we're playing a 1-3-1 and all of a sudden the ball's come over half court and my low man in the 1-3-1 is out at half court dogging the ball. Now he has to run all the way to underneath the basket, and I don't like that. And going back to the run and jump on the full court press, see, what a lot of people don't realize is that this is a man-to-man press, but it's not a I got 22, you got 12, you've got he's got 11, because it doesn't work. Because all of a sudden, I've got 22. I'm laying the ball up in the basket, and 22's at half court, not even to half court yet. Now, if I got to turn and run and grab him, not effective. If I'm laying the ball up, there's a good chance I'm going to take the ball. I'm going to take cover the ball that's out of bounds. I got ball. And then the next two closest people are at the free throw line. They got the elbows to start with. And the two people that are more closer to half court, they're back at half court. So that happens all the time. Think about your post player. If I feed you, you're the post player, and I feed you the post, you lay it up, you're my back guy, you got to run all the way down to get back. Now we get the ball back, you got to run all the way down and get in the post. Now we score, let's say the guard bangs a three, you got to run all the way out of the post to get back. That's doing right. Your post player a disservice.
Right.
It would be a lot easier for him to say, I got ball, maybe trap the first pass, maybe not jump, maybe rotate back through the middle. You know what I'm saying? So the bottom
So here's what I'm going to tell the young coaches too. 84 feet from the basket, it doesn't matter. The point guard can guard the 6'9 guy. It doesn't matter. Like he's not going to score from 84 feet away. And then, trust me, most high school teams are not good enough. You can switch it as soon as you get that rotation in the half court. It's not – you got to work on it and practice it a little bit. But very few high school teams can, in 5 seconds, isolate and get somebody – it just doesn't happen. I mean, I've watched enough games.
I've been asked a million times about mismatches, and my response is the same every time. Mismatches are extremely overrated.
Way overrated. Overrated.
Doesn't mean it'll never happen, but it pretty much never happens.
It never happens. And here's what I'm going to tell you again, golden nugget for the coaches listening. I have a tiny point guard. I had a tiny point guard last year. Literally, I think he got posted up once. He could have gotten posted up every time down the court in a mismatch or something. But the problem is not only is the guard that he's guarding have to be able to post up, then the person passing it in has to be able to make a good pass. And then the lob over, if he fronted it, it would never happen. I mean, I've seen like three good lob passes in 30 years. It's like just doesn't happen. Like, yeah, I 100% agree. Mismatches are way overrated.
Coach, you stop worrying about that.
It's like an urban legend. Like, oh my God, he's going to get isolated. And then now, you're more likely to get beat off the dribble. Like an isolation, like if you can't guard the ball, then we got other issues.
Here's the deal on getting beat off the dribble. what I tell our players all the time is that there's no such thing as getting beat. In other words, if I'm covering you, Steve, and you go by me, we're 80 feet away, 70 feet away, I am still in control.
Right.
All I got to do is run and tip the ball or veer you off, or someone's going to come and grab you, and I got to keep going to take the next man. So the thing is that the only time we're beat is when we quit. And when I say quit, you know, mentally start jogging. Jogging's not acceptable. And so there's no such thing as getting beat in this press. No such thing at all. As long as the kids understand, just keep rolling, keep rotating.
And I'm guessing film is a big part of it, like showing them.
Because they need to see it. Because all of a sudden you'll say, hey, Steve, you could have done this. You could have rotated here. And you'll look at me and go, Coach, didn't I do that? So they have to see it.
Right, right.
You're covering 84 feet, 84 by 50, right?
Right.
So they have to see it. Once they see it, they go, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
No, it's no big deal. But I'll tell you another thing I tell coaches about when you're teaching, no matter what we're teaching, the last thing you want to say is, don't do this. You should have never done that. You should have done this. Because once you start telling people, don't do this, you should have done 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 that, now they start thinking. And the last thing we don't want them to do a lot of thinking. We don't want to put up those roadblocks. We don't want to put up those walls. Because in the run and jump, like motion offense, like a lot of read and react, it's not about don't do this. It's about, yeah, okay, you might consider this. You could have made this option instead of that option. But never say never.
I like that. I think when Coach talked about his colors too, with, you know, I think if I remember right, they're white, red, blue, and black. Did I remember them right? That's
correct.
Yeah. Okay. I think I got them right. That's the way you can change. Cause I'm a firm believer in changing pace and changing, you know, if someone comes down and they're just doing, maybe they're beating you in red. Well, then let's change it up and we can go to something else like black or whatever, to just give them a different look. I think is helpful.
And the thing with the run and jump is you not only can speed people up. See, people think it's all about speeding up. No, sometimes you got a team that likes to run, slow them down.
And how do you slow them down? What would you run to slow them down? And how would you do that?
So all of a sudden you've got the ball and I'm not pressuring you. I'm back about 6-7 feet. All of a sudden you start dribbling to the middle. We can still jump it. We can still run it. Now we got you thinking, or I can take the guy off. If I'm going to slow you down, there's a good chance I'm taking the guy off the ball, put him in the middle of the floor. Kind of our spy back there.
Well, I like that. I like that.
I think it's a zone. It's still a man-to-man, still a run and jump. But the bottom line is now I've just slowed you down. It's a 2-1. I love the 2-1-2 look. I really do. Love it.
Is that the look you use the most often, or do you use the 2-1-2?
The one I use most often is the 1-2-2. I like putting pressure on the ball.
Okay.
But the 2-1-2 would be second.
Would be second. And are those the only two, like, look or sets that you start in, really?
2-2-1. 2-2-1. We'll do 2-2-1, force the ball a little bit more sideline. Pressure, like what Wahlberg does, is we might trap the two guys that are up are trappers. Two guys back at half court are more stayers.
Right.
That might be a little bit more of a zone look, but we're looking to trap right away with those two guys up.
Okay, I like that. What would you, if you, let's say you could only do three things at practice to get ready for this, what would you do and why?
Press. No, I'm certainly going to work on the press a lot. The other thing I'm going to work on is transition, because to me, I ask coaches all the time, I say, now, when I do, I've done a million clinics, and I'll say, okay, raise your hand if you press. 50% raise their hand. Raise your hand if you, like, run transition, like you fast break. 50% raise their hand. And I say to them, I say, what happens when you're down 10 with a minute to go? Well, I guess we do press. I said, everybody in this room presses and they run. The best way to develop your kids is teaching them how to press, teaching them how to run. So three things I would work on is the press, obviously. I would work on transition offense. I can run, you know, we all have a million transition drills, and I would work on shooting.
What would you do as far as a practice? So give me an idea of what a practice would look like with the run and jump. So let's pretend we're back at Stout, and I'm a little fly on the wall and I'm watching practice. Well, give us a rough estimate of what that would look like.
Well, obviously, everything's done in stages. Obviously, you get your kids all warmed up, a lot of transition stuff. And then within the practice schedule, and then we get in the press as soon as we can. As soon as we're ready to go, we will press solid for 20 minutes. We'll run 6 minutes of breakdown drill, 6 minutes of situational five-on-five, and then 6 minutes or six minutes of live five-on-five.
Okay.
And so the thing is that we're going to press for 20 minutes because here's what I know. Coaches talk a lot about, oh, we don't do this well, we don't do this well. And I say to coaches, like, half-court defense, pretty important stuff. So I say to coaches, let me look at your practice plan. Well, I can't look at the practice plan. They don't have it with them. I said, coaches a lot of times will complain about half-court defensively, they're not very good. And I said, well, let me look at your practice plan. Oh, you spent 2 minutes on it yesterday. Then the next day you spent 4 minutes on it. No wonder you're not very good defensively. So anyway, going back to the practice plan. Warm up, pressure, half-court defense. Now, in between each segment, I'm probably going to do some kind of a shooting competition. I'm going to do competition stuff.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw as much competition stuff into my practices as I can. And the competition stuff, the music's going, we're playing, we're recording. I'm a big recorder. In other words, we have a whiteboard there. We record stuff on the whiteboard on the side of the court. Turnovers, shots made, rebounds, you name it. And so different emphasis, probably a different emphasis every day. And so we like to do a lot of competition stuff. So again, because we're a pressing team, minimum 20 minutes of pressing. We're going to do X number of shooting drills, not back to back to back. We're going to throw them in. We're going to do half court defense. We're going to spend at least 12 to 15 minutes of half court defense minimum. Breakdown drills into five-on-five, into shell, et cetera. We're going to do our transition work. Again, we need to get the guys up and down, get them so they're doing it, because that's where you do a lot of your ball handling. And then sometimes before practice or, you know, during practice, early or late, we'll do our individual skill work.
Okay.
Because you want to do your individual skill work every day, but you don't want to do it the same time every day in practice. It gets to be boring. A lot of times doing it at the end, great time to do it.
Right. Variety is the spice of life. What's the hardest thing to teach?
I think depending on what your systems are in terms of half court defense, I think you got to really get into your defense. And I think half court defense is the name of the game. Even though I'm a big press guy, half court defense is the name of the game. And I think that's incredibly difficult to keep your kids focused in terms of the breakdowns, the footwork. You know, Dick Bennett, without any doubt in my mind, Dick Bennett was the greatest half-court defensive coach of all time, better than Bobby Knight, and Bobby Knight was awesome. But Dick Bennett had the defense down to the inch, and I mean to the inch. Up the line, on the line, he was the best. But I'll tell you what, you watch his practices, it was like watching paint dry. In terms of when they broke the defense down, because it was so laborious.
Right.
That's tough on kids. That's really tough on kids. It's tough to make it exciting. You got to get a fool.
And it goes back to what you were talking about earlier. You got to make it fun.
Yep.
So this is where, as a coach, you got to get a little creative.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to do some breakdown stuff, and then you got to throw something in that's fun. Go back to the breakdown stuff, throw something that's fun.
Yeah. Is there one coaching moment that we could talk about that either a success or a failure that the coaches listening could learn from?
You know, as we talked about earlier, I think we always go back to failures. Obviously, there's been a lot of great successes too. You know, when my first national championship with Mount Scenario College, we led the entire game. And they hit a three at the horn to send it into overtime. I almost passed out. I'm a young coach, and I almost passed out. I almost fainted because it was so devastating, and we had not trailed the entire game.
Hey, everybody, I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe. We would really appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, those five-star reviews mean a ton to us. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.